Well, it's good to be here tonight. Appreciate this meeting. What I've got to take in of it so far has been great. Enjoyed the Spirit of the Lord. Got to be here for the first time during the youth camp, and really enjoyed that. But, you know, it's important that our children get the blessings. It's important to have them in a place they can get the blessing. And I appreciate the work and the labor of love that goes into a meeting like this, and so important. Such a blessing. I have something on my heart I'd like to preach to you tonight. Over in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 21. It's chapter number 21, 1 Kings. Verse 1 said, it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near to my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down on his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Sound like he's pouting, doesn't it? Big old sissy. Really? Doesn't seem very kingly, does it? Doesn't seem like the royal thing to do. But listen to what happened here. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said to him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And everybody knows Jezebel, right? Listen to what she said. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. And notice what she said right here. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Before I go a little further, you may be seated. Thank you for the standing for the reading of the word of the Lord. A few weeks ago, I was praying about a service that I was to preach in. And never being at the place I was going and not really knowing who'd be there or anything about the situation, I was seeking the Lord about the service, and I had something happen to me. I've had it happen a time or two, a few times maybe, but as I was praying, I saw a big I saw a vision, all right? In that vision, I saw a great big red purse. And I saw a hand reach over and open it up, just unzip that purse. And in that purse, I saw the back of a man's head. And at first I was stunned. But then it turned to look toward me. The man in Jezebel's purse was alive. And I saw part of the back of his head, and I saw part of his face, and he kind of looked toward me, and then he looked away. And then the Lord spoke and dealt with me about this message. And as I want to preach to you just a little while, if I can, about the curse of Jezebel's purse. The curse of Jezebel's purse. And some people don't really believe in curses, but I know that they're true, don't you? Is sin a curse? Did Adam, when he and Eve were offered a better something, maybe a better vineyard, the Satan said, I'll give you something better. I'll give you something you're lacking, something you don't have. Let me get your eyes on something that you just never thought about. See, God's withholding some things from you, some privilege from you that you just had never had before. And I'm here to tell you that you can have something better. And really, you see, the Bible said here that Ahab had a vineyard. He offered it in trade. I'll give you my vineyard. I'll give you a better vineyard. What was wrong with the one that he had? If it's better, why you want mine? He just wanted something different. He just wanted something he didn't have. He wanted some power. He wanted whatever it was. Why is it that you want things that you really already have? And really, we're dealing in a church generation who seemingly they want things that really are forbidden them. And they've been sold a bill of goods at what's out there, and what other people are partaking of is better than what they got. But I want you to know tonight that's not the case. But you need to be careful, because when you get to looking on something that's forbidden, there's a curse that goes along with it. And Naboth, thank God for a godly man who stand up and say, no, the Lord forbid it me, and he forbid it you too, really. I can't give you what God's given me. It's been given by the decree of God that I would keep what's been given to my family, the heritage that I have, the blessing that I have. I'm going to hold on to it. And so thank God for a man of God who would stand up against even the king when the king got his eyes on something he didn't have any business looking into. He stood up and rebuffed the king and said, no, I don't, the Lord forbid it me. Now Naboth, I'm sure, had an idea that his life may be in jeopardy. But then I see here that Ahab, he had just about that much fear of God in him, just about that much. Because he went away sorrowing, and he didn't force it on him, but he was disgruntled. He was aggravated. He was angered because he didn't get his way. And a big old baby and a big old pout, he got a plan in his mind. He knew that he, even though he had this much fear of God, Jezebel didn't have that much. And you know, a lot of times we find that men know how to get their way. But you know, a lot of times when they do it, it costs them something. You see, we're created in God's image, right? And if you get to looking at creation, if you get to looking at headship, God's the head, Jesus Christ the Son, man under him, and then woman created from the side of a man, in the likeness of a man, oh praise God. You know, and sometimes we forget the importance and the value God puts on headship.
And so this man, what he did, he literally went in there pouting, got on his bed and whined. And Jezebel come in there and said, "Aren't you the king? Don't you deserve what you're asking for? Who is it that would withhold from you what it is that you want?" And she said, "I can give it to you." But the fact is, she really couldn't. The fact is, she was out of line. The fact is, she was out of place. The fact is, she didn't have the authority. Yes, she was a king's daughter. Yes, she was a queen. But she didn't have the authority. But we read here that she went then and took Ahab's signature, wrote letters and signed it to Ahab's name and used his power and used his authority. You know, Ahab had a pretty good idea that Jezebel wasn't afraid to usurp authority. He had a pretty good idea that Jezebel had means. She had no fear of God. It didn't bother her to take care of business in dastardly ways. And he wouldn't do it. Really, he didn't have the guts enough to be a good sinner. Just that little bit of fear made him, "I won't do it." I want you to know, you can read right on a little further here, and we know the rest of the story. Sure enough, she wrote the letters, and they bear false witness against Naboth, the man of God, and they took his life and stoned him. And yes, she delivered unto Ahab the vineyard. Oh, but then something happened great. You know what? We sometimes don't really realize what we're playing with and the order of God's purpose. And when we get things out of order, it's disaster. There's a curse that goes along with it. And when this man, Ahab, went to look over the vineyard, "Look at what I got," there was a man of God came and said, "Oh, no, no, no. Dogs are going to lick your blood. And in the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. And your children, those sons of yours, they're going to die too." I want you to understand something. When you get out of God's order, when you get things out of crossways with God, when a man steps down, you know what? We got so many people who really want things just the way they want them, that they'll leave their proper station and they'll let Jezebel do the work. Jezebel, the truth is, Ahab knew what he was doing. He knew what he wanted. And here's what I'm going to preach to you a little bit about. The curse of Jezebel's purse was, she said, "I can give it to you, but I got to have your authority. I got to have your power. I've got to have you sign off on it." And you know, we're in a time, it's such a time of effeminate men and people who do not care to stand up for the truth of God's word, even though they have just a little bit of fear. I'm here to tell you, just a little bit, a lot of times, it's not enough to keep you out of a curse, out of a situation that'll bring you down, that'll bring a curse on you and on your family. And Ahab said, "Yeah, you can have it. You can do that. I'll just look the other way and nobody will know the better." But the truth is, he was lending his power to Jezebel. It was in her purse. He was, and I want you to understand, so there's some people here tonight under the sound of my voice. You're saying there's some things that I want to have, but it's real convenient for you to be able to say, oh, I can't make it, I can't live it, I can't be faithful because my wife won't do it. Oh, I want you to understand something. God expects a man to be a man. And God expects a lady to be a lady. And there's an order that things ought to be done. And if you get it out of order, you're in trouble. We're dealing with, you know, I don't think some people believe that. I don't think some people, we got women who just, they're just waiting for the opportunity. Now look, you can look at me like that if you want to. But I didn't ask for this. And I'm not mean, but I am under a burden. Because I want you to understand there are consequences when men and women get out of order. There's problems arise. You know what? This man Ahab could have done better. He could have took a stand. He could have said, you're right, Naboth. I'm sorry. The scripture does say that. And he could have said, he could have just forgot about it altogether. But some of us are not willing. There's some things that we want to have. There's some things that we want out there, and we will allow our women and our wives. Oh, my friend, did you know our men, it's our responsibility, praise God, to be the priest of the home. And you know, I don't have to tell you all about how men think and how women think, but you know, you and I are responsible to lead our families and to teach them the difference in godliness and ungodliness. And some women didn't have a good daddy that feared God to teach them how to dress and how to live and what is pleasing to God and what's pleasing to man and what's pleasing to his flesh and how to overcome that. I'm here to tell you, sometimes we got people who literally will not tell the truth, will not stand for the right, will not take the stand because there's something that they're wanting to see. But there's a curse involved. Oh God. Oh God. This man Ahab become a dependent Jezebel. And we're in a society today has so upside down and backwards. We got men who stand for nothing and women who are running for the political office. They want the preeminence. They want the leadership roles. And you know why? It's because men didn't do what they are required of God to do. I really feel like what God's trying to get across to us, and what I saw was the Lord dealing with me about the fact that you and I, my friend, have a God-given responsibility as men of God to stand for the truth and to know what God said and to teach what God said and to live what God said. You know what? It wasn't so much about Jezebel and her failure. We already know she was a wicked woman, but Ahab could have done better. Ahab made the choices. Ahab procured a curse because he put his head in her purse. Oh, my friend. I want to read to you a little bit more over here in Isaiah. You see, what's so bad about it? Yeah, you're right. A lot of times men don't stand up like they ought to. Men, a lot of times, aren't as firm as they ought to. A lot of times, they're not taking the leadership role like they should. A lot of times we suffer greatly because of it. I want you to notice over in Isaiah chapter number 3 and verse 10, it said, "Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him, for they shall eat of the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. As for my people, children are their rulers, their oppressors. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths." Oh, my friend. You say, "I don't believe it." You say, "I don't understand it." Well, I want you to take a good look at the world that you're living in today. You know, we've got, since we have come to the place that men no longer take the stand in the leadership roles that they ought to, and no longer stand for God like Naboth did. Come what may, I'm going to stand for God if it costs me my life. That's a real stand right there. It's a man of God who can stand up against the crowd and say, "Thus saith the word of the Lord," and I'm not backing up for it. But here, I want you to understand, we got so many that have turned it the other way and said it can be. We got homosexuals in the pulpits. We got effeminate men leading churches. We got people who do not love the Lord doing all kinds of evil. We got, oh God, don't you get sick of all this stuff going on? Don't you get sick of all these people who don't understand what a man is and what a woman is? Heck, you can't tell the difference when they walk down the street. Don't you get tired of that? You know what it's resulted from? It's the result of the fact that we didn't stand up for what's right a long time ago and keep preaching it. Thank God for holiness. Thank God for somebody that'll preach the truth. Thank God for a man of God and a pastor that'll stand up and preach the word of God and tell us how it really is. They're saving us from this generation. My friend, we got such a generation. We got to move. How many here know who Katharine Hepburn is? Let me read to you some of her quotes. Don't raise your hand if you know her. She's a wicked woman. Katharine Hepburn. While growing up, this actress's parents were very liberal, and her mother helped found the organization which would later become known as Planned Parenthood. Anybody know what that is? That's what happens when people lose their natural affection and allow it to go on generation after generation until a woman loses her love for her baby and will destroy it. What's the precedent for that? Has anybody ever heard of Athaliah? Jezebel and Ahab's daughter, who when she wanted to have a little power and authority, she killed all of her grandchildren. What about that, grandmas? You say getting out of order won't make a difference. I beg to differ with you. It will change nature. It's against God's order and against God's plan. And when those things get out of order, I'm telling you, chaos ensues. There's a curse coming. When people get out of God's order and God's will, death happens, babies are killed, and effeminate people take preeminence. And men of God don't say what they ought to say and stand like they ought to stand. Oh, Lord. When Catherine was a young teenager, she found her older brother Tom's body hanging from the rafters in a vacation house where they were staying in New York City. While his hanging appeared to be an accident, it seemed to have a dramatic effect on her life. Looking back on his death, she said, "It was as if when Tom died, I sort of became two people instead of one, a boy and a girl.
Even before this, she had a longing to be a boy from the age of 9 to 19. She shaved her head during the summer months and called herself Jimmy. I'm talking about the curse of Jezebel's person. It's been said of her that she was the woman who put women in pants. Once when she would not give up wearing her pants in the studio, executives came in and stole them because they didn't want her wearing them. She was a fornicator, an adulteress, lived unmarried to a married man by the name of Spencer Tracy for 27 years. Here are a few of her quotes. If you want to sacrifice the admiration of many men for the criticism of one, go ahead and get married. These are women who would not obey the authority of God under men who would not teach them the loving authority of God. Is it not our responsibility to avert the curse? Does it not fall on you and me to make sure the trend reverses? Oh, my friend. You sit here. Sometimes I wonder if men and women really suit each other. Is that a prevailing thought these days? Why are you preaching this? Because we have a trend in this country and in this world that's turning women on top and saying they ought to have all the liberties to do anything. But you know what it's doing? It's cursing them. It's bringing death and destruction. You're looking around and it makes you sick. He said here, perhaps they should live next door and just visit now and then. That's the philosophy of this world. That's the philosophy of Jezebel. My friend, I don't know about you. I don't want to any longer put up with effeminate living. I don't want to anymore put up with somebody who will not preach the truth. Hey, there's something wonderful about a man of God who can have the respect of his family. You know what we're into? We're into a place where the women do not have respect for their men, and the reason is because they've not stood up to be the man that they ought to be. But today I'm here to tell you, we ought to have, and thank God in the holiness movement, I know it exists, don't you? Thank God here, we stand up for the truth. We still stand up for what's right. We still preach the truth, and we still teach our daughters how to live godly and the reason why they ought to. And we still stand for what's right behind the pulpit. And I want you to know something, it's really important that our young men can take a look at somebody besides a home run hitter and say, there's a man that can overcome adversity. And besides somebody that can score a touchdown or slam dunk a basketball. And they're looking for somebody that can emulate. They're looking for somebody that can have confidence in. They're looking for somebody that has a backbone. They're looking for somebody they can trust. And thank God, God gave us hope, God gave us truth, and God gave us commandments, and God gave us men of God who care enough to stand up for the truth. Why are you preaching like this? Because I want you to take a good look around you at what you got. Take a good look at what God's doing in these young men. Young men, this is a youth service. So young men, I know when I got saved in 1989, I went to my first youth camp at Sepulpa, Oklahoma. And that guy over there was preaching it. Yeah, that little short guy right over there. Yeah, with his hand about that high. And I had never heard very much homeless preaching. I just got saved. But you know what I found out? I found out that there was people that stood up for the Word of God. I found out that it was preached behind our pulpits. And I know I may be a little taller than him, but he was my hero for years. And still's one of them. I got tapes and tapes and tapes of men of God standing up and telling us the truth. And you know what I decided? That's what I believe. That's what I'm going to live. And I got to seeing that what they stood for was right. And that it worked. And it would deliver. And I got to believe in them when they preached the gospel. And I got to praying that the Lord would do those works in my life. Because I got to seeing it was working for them. And I decided it'll work for me. And you know what? Hey, if you... I got to praying, Lord... Lord, I'm here by myself. I'm trying to live it alone. Would you give me somebody? I'm lonely. You want a wife? Ask God about it. He knows how to fix you up. My sweetheart, he put us together. You know why? Because I listened to some men of God who would stand for what's right. And 22 years later, it's better than it's ever been. You take a look at the world and see which way it's going. You know what they're living? They're living under the curse of Jezebel's purse. They're living under the curse of what it's like to give up the godliness and forget about what God said and forget about the standards and forget about holiness and forget about the truth and let's do it our own way. Let's do what feels good. Let's do what we like. You know what? Some of you are getting what you want. But you need to stand up for what's right. And see if you can't reverse the curse. Some of us are in places tonight. We'd like to do better. We'd like to, I'll tell you what, pray through and take a stand for God's word. The night that I preached this, it was harder then than it is now. Because when I got to the service, there was 3 men in the service. 3. And I told them, I dread this. Because one of them I saw in my vision. It was his head. And that brought us down to 2 that I didn't see. And it made me nervous when I got there and saw that guy. And I had to preach to him straight up. But the next day, the other one called me and said, you know, you had me. I've been letting things go too long. I've been neglecting my duty too long. And my wife's been running the house too long. And she's been being a spiritual leader too long. And it's going the wrong way. You know what we're needing? We're needing some men of God to go back to the prayer closet and come out with the power and be able to lead their family and be able to lead their children. You know why women can't respect their men? Because... they've got their desires all wrong. When a man of God comes out of the prayer closet and the wife says, I got a need, honey. The man of God that's been praying can supply that need. You know why? He's a spiritual leader of his home. The man of God can go to the prayer closet and come out. We don't have to have a good paying job with good benefits to take care of our children. We got a God.
You know what people make, you know what makes heroes? Somebody that fought the fight. Somebody that stood the test. Somebody that reached the faith. Somebody that touched their God. Somebody that come with the goods. That's the ones that these young people, they're trying to emulate. They're trying to live like them. You got good wholeness women that live right and do good. And our young ladies are emulating them. Thank God for it. We're trying to avert the curse. You know what? We're living wholeness for a reason. Take a look at it. Take a good look before you get down on the preaching of God's word. Before you start saying they're just a bunch of old fogies, you take a good look at what you got going on here, and you take a good look at what's going on out there. Which way you gonna choose? Which way you going? I believe I'm gonna stand for the right. I believe I'm gonna back these preachers when they preach holiness. I believe I'm gonna live right and guide my family right. What about you? There ain't but one way to reverse the curse. And that's to stand for the truth when you got the opportunity. And it's going to take men of God to do it. But I believe that the reason God gave me that vision, because He wanted you to realize if you're not living up to it, you can. And you should. And He wants you to. And there's a blessing in it. There's power in it. There's anointing in it. Oh, praise the Lord.